know we've been praying for Michael Olson. Yes. So yesterday evening, I got a call from his father. It was a video call. I answered the call, and he's like, I got somebody here I want you to see. And he turns the video on Michael, and Michael is awake. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He had, about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, he had a bad accident while working. Head trauma. They've done multiple surgeries on his head, and he's basically been in a kind of like a comatose state ever since then, basically. And I've been praying for him to come out of it, to wake up. Yesterday, he woke up. Praise the Lord. And he was like looking at me, and you know, he's looking at the camera with his eyes, and he even waved with his hand. So keep praying. You know, for the full recovery as his body, you know, continues to recover. But super big breakthrough happened yesterday. So glory to God. Resurrection Sunday and the day before, we see him come out of that. So glory to God. Amen. So Father, we just say thank you for Michael. Thank you for healing his body. Thank you for bringing him out of that comatose state. And we just declare right now, we bless his body to fully recover. In Jesus' name, that there will be no lasting damage or anything like that. We declare full recovery, and we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So today is Resurrection Sunday, and you know, millions of followers of Jesus, believers all over the world, are celebrating today that Jesus not only died on the cross to pay for our sins, but that on the third day, God raised him from the dead. Amen. And Jesus ascended back into heaven where he is today. You know, Jesus is alive today still. And he's in a physical body today, up in heaven, just waiting for the time when he comes back. And what I want to do today is, as we celebrate the resurrection, you know, when you read the New Testament and it talks about the resurrection of Jesus, it looks forward to, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, we look forward to, because he was raised from the dead. Whose phone's ringing?
Mine.
Oh, can you put it on vibrate for me?
Yeah. That,
okay. Awesome. Thank you. because he was raised from the dead, it prophesies we are going to be resurrected from the dead and be with him. Amen. And so his resurrection is he didn't like appear as a ghost. You know, it wasn't like he was raised from the dead. I had this vision, and in a dream I saw this vision of Jesus. No, he was in a physical body. He actually came and he's like, touch me, go ahead, touch me. And he ate food with them, and he embraced them, and he talked with them, because he had not a voice box. They don't have voice boxes. I don't know how voices work, but it's physical. He talked. He sang a hymn with them. He ate bread with them. He ate fish with them. And he was in a physical body. And listen, it prophesies about a coming day. That is our hope. It's why we follow Jesus, is because one day he's coming back. And when he does, we get to be raised from the dead, not as a disembodied spirit that floats around on the clouds and plays a harp. That's actually not what the Bible teaches at all, not even a little bit. You know, the resurrection is literal that we look forward to. It's a physical resurrection, and the New Testament is super clear about it, and we're going to read some of those scriptures today. And this is the blessed hope that we look forward to. We are going to literally live forever. Not just like spiritually in a disembodied state. We are going to physically live in a physical body forever. I'm glad I actually like having a physical body. How many of you like to run and to jump and to play, to eat good food? Give people you love, give them a hug. Go swimming. How many of you like to go swimming?
I do.
Yeah, me too. Like to go swimming, right? And God created human beings on purpose. He created us to live on the earth in a physical body forever, yet without sin and without a curse, in relationship with Him and in relationship with one another, without strife, without arguing and working through our emotions when somebody has an off day and we're also having an off day at the same time, and it's conflict and it's like, oh no. And man, it's like there is a resurrection coming where those of us who believe in Jesus, we are going to be alive in a physical body without a curse, no sickness, no pain, no more sadness, no more death or even the fear of death, none of it whatsoever. Like, can't even get injured. That makes me so excited. See, there's things that I really want to do. Like yesterday, I'm 45 now. And yesterday afternoon, it was so beautiful. And I got out in the backyard, and we have a trampoline that the kids jump on. And I was out there alone. I'm like, kind of looks good. So I climb up there, and I'm jumping on the trampoline in my backyard. And I'm like, wow, this is so fun. You know, I'm going up and down, up and down. And I'm like loving it. So I just keep going and going and going. And then and the thought goes through my mind. I'm like, oh, I'm getting pretty high. I'm like, I think I could do a flip right now. Now, when I was like 20, no problem. You don't even think twice. You just do it, right? But at 45, you have to think through these things. It's like, I've been to the chiropractor two or three times in the last 2 weeks for my back. Is this wise? And my heart's saying, go for it. And my mind is saying, use wisdom, Jeff. Is it worth it? Is it worth the pain? And I went with my mind. I didn't do it. But I got down off the trampoline. It's interesting. I got down off the trampoline after jumping for, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes. I get down off the trampoline, and as soon as I stand on normal ground again, my legs, I'm like, oh my goodness. I woke up this morning, and my legs, I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't used some, there was some muscle in there that I haven't used in a while that I used. And I'm like, wow, this is, but I love to do things like that. I love it. Man, when I was a kid, and I loved to, when I would play, like, if I got dirty and muddy, I had more fun. That's proof that I was having lots of fun. Love to get muddy. I remember in California, I lived in California for a little while, and we lived like about a block away from our house. It was like mountains and desert, basically. It was in Southern California. And there was this one spot that it was like a cliff, and there was almost like white dirt, kind of like clay, kind of muddish. So, and it was huge cliff, right? And we used to ride our bikes up there. It was awesome. And then we had this one day, we didn't have school, and it rained like all day. And so what do? Of course, we go to where the mud is. You go up to the cliff, and we played, and we had the best time, and my mom was not happy when I got home. But I'm like, that's where the fun is. And I just like, God created us with that desire to enjoy physical pleasure. He created us for the earth. And that's why I love that one day I'm going to have a body and I'll do those flips. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to be doing the flips. I'm like, wait a minute, I can't get injured? Do you know the stuff that I'm going to be attempting? I'm going to put it to the test. Let's see. No, I'm joking, but I'm yet actually serious. And what I want you to do is I want you to get the point that this is a literal thing. Like, this is something to look forward to. What if I told you this? What if I told you that for 1 week next year, for 1 week, the Lord was going to give you your 18-year-old body back? And you were going to have, like, you know how kids are just, they do the craziest stuff, and they go, boom, boom, they slam their heads, and you're like, oh no, hospital, right? And they kind of get up, they cry a little bit, and they're like, go on playing. It's like, wow, God made them really resilient, right? And it's like, man, it's not that way for me anymore. But what if, like, next year, you knew that there was 1 week the Lord said, I'm going to give you your 18-year-old body back? I mean, if it were me, I'd be planning for that week. I'd be like, I'm taking this week off. I'm doing some fun, crazy stuff. I would be lining up baseball games like crazy. I'd be diving all over the field. I wouldn't do skydiving because that never sounded fun even when I was 18. My wife was she was like, let's do, she's always adventurous, super adventurous. It's like scary to me because I'm the more like, let's be safe, right? And I remember we're in like India and I think we're like in our lower 20s. And we're in India, and she's at first day in India. We wake up, and she's like walking around. I'm like, wait, stay with me. And she's just like, adventure. I'm like, wait, stay here. Just be careful. I don't know if we should go over there, you know, whatever it is. And she's also the one when we were young, she's like, I want to go skydiving. I'm like, I'm not going. I don't want to go skydiving. And kind of as the husband, I'm like, I don't think you should go skydiving. I don't really like that idea. Anyway, whatever. But I would be planning for that week next year. I'd be like, it's going to be the most fun week. I'm going to do so many things. I'm excited about it, right? But here's the deal. The truth is, there is a literal day coming when Jesus returns that you are going to get a new physical body that is completely free from the curse and all of its effects. And from that day forward, not just for the best week of your life, but forever. It never stops. You will be in that body, experiencing God, eating the greatest food with no bad effects, playing, enjoying the best companionship and friendships and relationships forever and ever and ever on the earth with Jesus reigning. All of our leaders will be personally appointed by him, and they'll be full of the Holy Spirit and fear the Lord, and they will do things according to his plan. Come on, this is going to be a good place to live. He's going to restore all things. And one of the really big parts of that massive restoration is our physical resurrection. And so I think about the resurrection of Jesus, but actually the resurrection of Jesus is actually just the first fruits of the resurrection of all who follow him. Amen? So let's read it. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm just going to kind of work my way through these 23 verses. There's actually, read the whole chapter. The whole chapter is one of the best chapters in the Bible. The whole thing is about the future resurrection that we have to look forward to. So I encourage you to read the whole thing. But let me just read this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the believers in the city of Corinth, and he says, "Now let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before." Everybody say the good news. Okay? That's like the gospel. Do you know, the gospel literally means good news. The gospel of Jesus, it's the good news about Jesus. What is the good news about Jesus? It's the good news about his life. He lived a sinless life. He went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil. That's good news, amen? It's also that's not the whole story of Jesus. That's just the good news about his life. Then there's the good news about his death. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins so that we can be forgiven and that our relationship with God can be restored and we can be delivered. Like the greatest deliverance that's ever happened is when we get delivered from a sinful nature. That's a radical deliverance. Delivered from a sinful nature. That's because of the death of Jesus. But then there's the good news about the resurrection of Jesus, right? He rose from the dead. And then but that's not the end of the story, according to the Bible. There's more good news about Jesus. How many of you know he rose, but that's not the end of the story? The rest of the story is the good news about the return of Jesus to the earth to reign as king and the establishment of his kingdom in all the earth, and he restores all things. So Paul says, I just want to remind you about this good news. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you. If, everybody say if. if you continue to believe the message. That's a key if, isn't it? Our job is to keep believing the testimony of Jesus, the life, death, resurrection, return, and reign of Jesus forever, as the scriptures say. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. In other words, this isn't a message that Paul came up with. He was saved by hearing this same exact message. It was passed on to him, and then he passed it on to others. And he says, here's the message, ready? Christ died for our sins. Just as the scripture said, he was buried. So he wasn't in a coma. He wasn't just like knocked unconscious. He was dead and buried. And he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. I love this. Listen to this. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. So he's like, okay, I'm going to just give you eyewitness testimony of those who actually saw Jesus after he was resurrected. Okay, so this isn't just like one guy's story in a back room somewhere where he's like, I saw Jesus. And it's like, I don't know. You're always coming up with stories, this guy. I don't know. How many of you know? Anyway, I know some people. It's like, I don't know if I believe you. Sorry, I love you, but don't know, right? But Paul's like, he was seen by Peter. You can trust him. Then he was seen by the 12, so it wasn't just Peter. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. Like, whoa. I mean, I don't know. Like, was Jesus like preaching to 500 people after he was resurrected? I don't know, but it says right here that there were 500 eyewitnesses who physically saw Jesus after he was resurrected all at the same time. Most of them are still alive. This is obviously back then when Paul was writing this letter. He's like, most of those guys are still alive right now. Obviously, I'm pretty sure that all 500 are dead with the Lord right now. But most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. Paul's like, I actually physically, I saw the Lord as well. Verse 12, but tell me this. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? Like Paul's like, guys, I got to talk to you. You believe this gospel. Like none of you knew anything about God. I proclaimed who he was and I testified who Jesus was. And the message I told you about that you believed at the time was his life, his death, his resurrection, and his return. And his reign on the earth, right? He's like, but now I hear that some of you say, oh, he didn't really rise from the dead, or there is no real future resurrection of the dead to look forward to. And that's easy to do. There's been different versions of this type of religious philosophy over the generations, right? Where it's kind of like religion is all about like, oh, it improves my life today. It's like a self-help. It makes me a better person right now. And, you know, I heard one person say this, actually, who is a believer. And they were telling me this. This is a long, long time ago. It was actually a mentor of mine, but I didn't agree with this. He was saying, you know what? Look at me. I was like, I've got a good family. God's blessed my family, which is good. And he's like, and even if there was no such thing as eternal life that I'd live forever, I'd still serve Jesus. Because of how he's blessed my life today. Which I get what he's trying to say. But I'm like, I don't know if I would. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, no, we won't see because it is true. He is coming back from the dead. He is coming back and we will rise from the dead. You guys know what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is like there's different versions sometimes where people just say, well, you know, it's not really about eternal life. There's no physical resurrection from the dead. Eternal life is like, what is eternal life? And they kind of make up like it's this ethereal, mystical, thing. And it's like, dude, eternal life is what the Bible says eternal life is. That's what eternal life is. It's Jesus in a physical body with his people in physical bodies on a physical earth, reigning forever with no sin, no Satan, no demons, no sickness, no death, no sadness, no fighting, no strife, no curse. Everything is blessed. That's eternal life that the Bible describes exactly what it is. And so Paul's addressing this like erroneous philosophy that's kind of creeping into some of the believers in Corinth, and they're like, well, you know, maybe there's not really a resurrection of the dead. And Paul says, guys, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. He's like, just be logical, guys. He's like, you're saying there's no resurrection. If that's true, then Jesus can't have been resurrected. And then he says, and if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. And then he goes, and your faith, useless. If Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, he's like, oh, we're lying. I'll go on. He says, we apostles would all be lying about God because we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our, listen to this verse, I love this. If our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. I just love the raw honesty of Paul here. I love it. If it's just like he's going to make my life better right now, and that's all that's about. Paul's like, you know what? Paul could be like, you know how I was saved? I got blinded by Jesus, and I was blind for 3 days. And then he healed me of my blindness, and I got baptized. And then immediately, this is the message of hope that Jesus told me on the day I got saved. This is what Paul could have said. Literally, he says, I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer for me. Then immediately, Paul starts testifying about the good news about Jesus. And guess what happens immediately? They're trying to kill him. Like physically, literally kill him. He has to escape out of the city under cover of darkness at night. And flees for his life. Goes. And then Holy Spirit ends up keep sending him to new places and preach the gospel. And he sees God do all these miracles and people get saved. But you know what also happens in almost every city he goes to? People try to kill him. Constantly. He is running for his life continually. He actually one time was stoned and left for dead. Imprisoned, shipwrecked, beaten, tortured, lied about, mocked. He lost like his status, his high status in the world that he was a part of, the Jewish world, lost it. I mean, those guys, he was an up-and-comer, right? But then all of a sudden, he was a nobody. Lost it all. And Paul's like, if following Christ, if all it were about was like just for this life, he's like, we're the most pathetic people, duped, deceived. We have totally believed a lie, man, because I can point you to people who are not following Jesus who outwardly it looks like their life is way better than mine. They got more money. They got tons of food. People like them and are not trying to kill them. Paul's like, don't even go there about telling me there's no resurrection. This entire thing for me is about the resurrection. I'm not living for this age. I am living for the age to come. I'm living for the eternal reward. And this is exactly how Jesus instructed his disciples to live. Not only that, this is how Jesus modeled for his disciples to live. like the Savior who was anointed to be King of nations forever, voluntarily went to death on a cross. Why? Because he wasn't living just for this life. He was living for eternity. Anyway, so I love that point that Paul makes that. But then he says in verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Everybody say amen. Amen. He has been raised from the dead. Now here's the key. I want you to get this. So what does that mean for us? He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, Adam, now the resurrection from the dead has begun. Oh, come on. It's on now. That's what he was saying. It's on now. It's already, you can't stop the train now. It's rolling. The resurrection train is rolling. Hop on, right? Hop on, because nothing's going to stop it. Once Jesus, he's the first human being. Talked last week, he's fully God, but he's also fully human. He was the first human being to be resurrected from the dead and get his new resurrected body. The first one. And that's what it says here. He is the first of a great harvest. So think about this. Like this summer, Lord willing, we'll have a great harvest in South Dakota, right? These guys, they get out their wheat when they harvest their wheat field, right? They go out there and they make that first pass in the combine, and it fills up the back, right? The hopper with all the grain. And you could go, the farmer could just dip his hand in the grain and scoop out a handful of grain, and he would be like, this is the first of the harvest. Be like, what do you mean? He'd be like, look out in that field. See all that wheat out there? All of it's going to come in just like this. Jesus was resurrected, and God was like, look, here he is. This is proof. In the same way that he has eternal life and a resurrected body forever, this is proof that he promised that to you. It's coming your way. Here, look at it. Look at the visible proof. Here he is. Then it says, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then, so it's like, well, what about us? When do I get my new body? I'd like it right now, actually. You know what? Not going to happen. Doesn't matter how much faith I have. I have faith that I'm going to receive my eternal resurrected body now. It doesn't matter. It won't happen. Because God's like, I have ordained a day for you to receive that body. Amen? Now, we can receive healing now, but that's not the same as the resurrected body that's coming. Amen? It says, Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised. When is that going to happen? You tell me. When? When he comes back. Do you see it? That's when we get our new bodies. So that gives you another reason to look forward to the return of Jesus. Because when he comes, I get my new body. Amen? So what will our resurrected bodies look like? Again, we're not going to be eternally disembodied spirits floating around on the clouds forever. It's amazing how many Christians, like, that's their... They maybe not have consciously said that, but that's the picture. That's the idea in their mind when they think about their eternal state. I don't know what it'll be, but it will be awesome. I'll be worshiping. That's good. That's true. I know when I think about floating around on a cloud forever, it sounds like I'm just being honest. It sounds like a really peaceful afternoon. And like on day three, I'm like, I'm bored. like really bored. I mean, I have to do this forever. Like, how do I get off this cloud? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going, and every once in a while, like, another saint passes by. It's like, I knew you. Wait a minute. Aren't you? You look vaguely familiar. What's up, man? Isn't this awesome? Yeah, bro. This is so rad, man. Thank you so much, God. Like, yeah, righteous, rock on. That's so cool, right? It's like floating around on the cloud, but that's like not what the Bible teaches, okay? Or like we see each other, you know, we see each other, we think of ourselves like we're this, like, we're not physical beings. We think of ourselves like we're going to be like this disembodied spirit, right? And we're like, oh, Chad, dude, so good to see you, man. Run, give each other a hug. Whoa! We just go right through each other, like pass through. Like, whoa, that was trippy. Remember when you used to be able to play frisbee and do that? Like, I can't even do that now, man. I do go, like, I can't even grab the disc at all. I'm just being silly, but that's not at all what the Bible shows about our eternal state. We're going to be physical beings. Amen. So what will our resurrected bodies be like? 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. Paul's writing again, and he says, for we know that when this earthly tent is taken down. Now, he's using tent as a metaphor for our physical body, okay, in this passage. When we die and leave these bodies, so there, he just explained his own metaphor. He says, then we will have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies. Isn't that true? I'm feeling it this morning. I mean, I could have slept longer this morning. I'm not going to lie. I could have done that. Growing weary in our present bodies. And we long for the day when we will put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Here, it can't get any more clear than verse 3. For we will not be spirits without bodies. Isn't that clear? But we will put on new heavenly bodies. Our dying bodies make us groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and have no bodies at all. We want to slip into our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by everlasting life. God himself has prepared us for this. And I love this, as a guarantee. Everybody say guarantee. Okay, this is guaranteed to you by Jesus himself. This is not, you don't have to hope for this or wish for this. It is. This is fact. It is guaranteed. And the fact that Jesus was resurrected is proof because he's the first fruits of it. God has prepared himself for us as a guarantee. He has given us his Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. That's another big thing that I like talking about. But I want to just point out real quick, what will our new bodies look like? And we can know what our new bodies will look like by look at Jesus in his resurrected body after he was raised from the dead, because he was the first human being to get his new body. Does that make sense? So look at him. What was his body like? What's the stuff that he could do? And that gives you an idea of what your body's going to be like. Well, let's just look real quick. So Jesus, first, he looked like a normal man. He didn't look like an alien. You know, he wasn't like this, creepy-looking, alien-looking, like, what? He looked like a human being, actually, because he was mistaken for a gardener. You remember that? After he was resurrected. And I think it was Mary was in the garden, and she was mourning. She's like, where did they take his body? And she goes up to who she thought was the gardener taking care of the grounds. And she's like, sir, sir. You know, she wasn't like, oh, my goodness, that's an alien. Just looked like a normal person. You guys with me? In his resurrected body. So you're going to actually look like a human being forever. And then he had flesh and bones. In his resurrected body, he had flesh and bones. He actually said to his disciples, like, I love this. He could do some cool tricks in his new body. He could do this kind of like appear disappear kind of thing pretty well. And I remember one time it's in John, I think it's 20, when he just kind of pops into the room where all his disciples are. Like, they're all talking about him. Like, we heard somebody said that they saw him. They're like, what? No way, because not all of them had seen him at this point. And they're discussing it, and they're like, what is going on? They're trying to make sense of it. And all of a sudden, boom, there he is, like in their midst. And they were scared, frightened. You could play awesome tricks on people if you wanted to. And they're scared. They're like, ah! And this, listen to what he says. Jesus looks at him. He says, guys, it's me. He's like, go ahead, reach out, touch me, and see that I'm not a ghost. He actually says that. See, I'm not a ghost. God, I'm not a vision. I'm in a body. Go ahead, touch my body. And then he would eat with them. He'd eat fish. He would talk with them. He would sing with them. I mentioned all this earlier. So he had flesh and he had bones, okay? And then he also ate food, physical food. How many of you know you got to have a physical body to digest physical food? Amen? He could speak. He could sing. He could walk. He could hold objects like a normal man because he was a physical person. And then finally, he could do that cool trick thing. He could do that disappear, reappear in a flash thing, which is pretty cool. I don't know if it's legal, if it counts as still being righteous. Like, am I allowed to scare my wife in the New Jerusalem? I don't know. I used to play tricks on her when we were first married, but they don't work anymore because she knows me now really well. I used to do things to try to embarrass her. We would be, I had this trick where I would purposely fake like I had a big fall in a public setting. Like a lot of people around. And I'd act like I seriously hurt myself. So we would be like in the student union at college on campus and all these people are buzzing around. And I'd be about like two or three stairs from the floor. And I'd purposely just like, whoa! And I'd throw my bag, make it dramatic, hit the ground. I'd slap it really hard. And then I'd just roll on the ground in agony like, ah, ah, ah. And the crowd would gather. Like, they'd be like, oh, are you okay? Like, and I'd be like, ah. And she knew I was faking it. And she'd be so embarrassed. And she'd just be like, oh, guys, he's okay, guys. He's just faking it. He's okay. And she gets so embarrassed. And then I'd be like, no, I'm cool, guys. It's good. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah. But I just liked embarrassing her. It was really, really fun. So I did that in the subway in New York City with her. That's probably not wise because that's filthy ground. But it doesn't work anymore. Now she learned the trick. The trick is she just doesn't pay any attention and get embarrassed anymore. She just keeps walking. So I'm like, eh, it's not fun anymore. So I don't do it. That was a tangent. The disappear, reappear in a flash thing. Yeah, so that's, anyway, he could do cool stuff in his resurrected body, but it was a physical body. Now, this is the last point I want to make. I'm going to finish with this last scripture. So we look forward to the resurrection, but here's the thing I want you to see is that it's not just the righteous who are going to be resurrected with physical bodies forever. The unrighteous are also going to have physical bodies forever, but they will be in torment, the Bible says, in hell, a lake of fire. And the torment that the Bible describes when it describes hell, it's not just a spiritual, emotional torment. It's also a physical torment because they have physical bodies in hell forever. God did not create human beings to be disembodied spirits. He created us to have physical bodies. And that's not just the righteous, that's the unrighteous. In John chapter 5, the resurrection we look forward to when Jesus returns, it's not just the righteous who are going to be resurrected, it's also the unrighteous. I mean, can you imagine? I try to imagine the resurrection. Think about Jesus coming back out of heaven with an army of angels and all the saints who have died and gone before us. I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions, maybe into the billions, this procession. Do you know how large that would be? Because this is a literal procession that Jesus will lead with a shout out of heaven. Can you imagine? And the Bible says that every eye will see him, physically see him. And the unrighteous will be terrified when they see him coming back, because they're in rebellion against him, and he's coming back with an army like nobody's ever seen before, and with great authority and power, and he's coming back to exert his authority and his power in that moment. And they're going to be terrified, but the righteous are going to be rejoicing, because we're going to be caught up in the air to meet to join the procession, and we get new resurrected bodies. That's the second half of 1 Corinthians 15 that I didn't get to. I try to imagine what that's going to be like. I try to think of what the sound would be like. What would the sound of the earth, all the bodies in the earth being resurrected, what was it? I just think of like the sound of like multiplied times millions all over the earth. I mean, gosh, the drama of it. Jesus said in John 5, I assure you that the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. Now listen to this. When the dead, he's talking, now here's what he's doing in this passage. I got to explain it to you. Jesus does this actually a lot of places. He starts in the spiritual and then he goes to the physical. Okay? Because that's actually how eternal life comes to you. Eternal life starts in your spirit. When you're born again and the Holy Spirit comes into you, you come alive to God and you get a new heart. Amen? A new nature. Then salvation doesn't just stop in your spirit. Then it works its way through your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions as you're sanctified, right? As you learn to renew your mind and believe the word of God. And then your emotions start getting healed and all this kind of stuff. And that's the sanctification process. But salvation starts in your spirit, works its way through your soul, and it climaxes in your physical body on the day that Jesus returns. And it's like, well, how do I know you're going to keep your promise and give me that physical body? It's like, because the spirit of resurrection is already, the salvation is already in your spirit. It's already working its way through your soul. And it's a guarantee that the final payment is coming, your resurrected body, when Jesus returns. You guys get it? So in this passage, he starts off talking. He's like, guys, I have the authority to impart eternal life. First spiritually, then at the end he says, and physically. So we're going to see this. I assure you, he says, it's the time is coming. He says, it's here now. When the spiritually dead is what he's talking about in this verse, will hear my voice. Because he's talking, the Son of God is talking right at that moment. He says, those who are spiritually dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen, who take heed, who take it to heart, who believe it, will live. It's talking about spiritual life. You following me? Because he says it's here now. He's talking about right now, eternal life is available. Salvation is available right now. When you hear me talk and you believe my words, eternal life is imparted into your spirit. I don't know if you're getting this. I'm going to preach really long if I don't think you're getting this. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son. And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he's the Son of Man. Don't be so surprised, because some of them are looking at him. He's telling them, he's like, guys, I have the power just by my words. You can listen to my words, and if you believe them and take them to the heart, they'll actually give you salvation and eternal life in your spirit. And I mean, some of them are looking at him like, you're a man. What do you mean you can impart spiritual life? Like, you're a human being. They're looking at him. He's like, don't be so surprised. He's like, that's nothing. He's like, one day. And then he goes on. And he says, indeed, the time is coming. So first he says, the time is now for spiritual life, right? He says, guys, it's going to go far beyond just me imparting spiritual life to you right now. A time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Now he's talking about physical resurrection. You guys see it? Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, right, in God's kingdom. And those who have continued in evil will rise to experience what? So it's not just the righteous who get resurrected, it's also the evil. Do you guys see that? Did you guys catch that? Because that was a cool passage. I mean, I don't think you guys got that. Was cool. That really blesses me. I love the play on words. I love the way he does that. He's like talking and he's like, man, you'll hear my voice and you'll have spiritual life because I have the ability to impart spiritual life. They're like, what? You have the ability to impart spiritual life? You're a man. He's like, guys, I can prove it. One day, it's not just spiritual life. All will hear my voice and they'll physically rise from the dead. Anyway, I think that was cool, Jesus. All right. This is why we look forward to the return of Jesus. Amen. This is one of the reasons why, one of the many reasons why. And it's also, this is called the blessed hope. The return of Jesus is the blessed hope. For so many reasons. One of them is that's when we finally get our resurrected bodies. Paul says we're groaning for those bodies. We're going weary in these present ones. I want that new one. I can't wait. Jesus, come. Amen. There's a lot of other good things that happen at that time. But here's the certainty. Jesus lived us in this life. He died on the cross. He rose again. And he is coming back again. And this event is coming. And you have a choice now. In this period before he returns, while you're here, you are making a choice, whether you realize it or not. You're going to choose to believe this good news about Jesus and follow him as your king. Or you're going to not believe and continue living in your own way in rebellion and in sin. You are making a choice, whether you've consciously realized that you are making a choice. Even if somebody says, I don't know, I'm just going to stay on the fence. I don't know if I'm ready to follow Jesus yet. I'm not sure what I believe. You're making a choice. You're choosing not to say yes to Jesus yet. Does that make sense? Everybody makes a choice in this life, but regardless of your choice, you have no say whatsoever over this happening. He's coming back. The evil will be judged. The resurrection's going to happen. And the righteous will live with him in his kingdom forever. And he's saying, I love you, even in your sin. He's like, I love you. I can change your life. It's like, how do I know? It's like, man, are you kidding me? If I can raise your body from the dead, you don't think I can give you a new heart? You don't think I can deliver you from sin? Come on. He's like, if you believe what I'm telling you right now and you choose to follow him, eternal life begins. And you follow Jesus, and then he comes back, and he brings his reward with him. So I just want to ask you this morning, where are you at with God right now? Are you a believer? Do you believe this stuff? Like, for real? And if so, see, you can always tell who really a believer really is. Because if they actually believe this is true, it totally affects their choices in everyday life. It totally affects what they do. If I really believe, like the Bible says, that the sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God, but that the sexually immoral will be in the lake of fire forever, guess what? I'm going to find the power to say no to temptation. Why? Because I really believe that, and I don't want to be in the lake of fire. That verse actually is one of the most powerful verses God used to help me overcome sexual or immorality in my life. That was a huge problem for me when I was younger. Huge problem for me. One of the ways I was like, God, deliver me, deliver me. And he led me to Revelation 21, verse 8. As well as other passages. And I'm like, whoa, I really believe that that's true. That's clear. I'm like, I better make sure that I'm not one of those guys. Lord, help me, right? It's called the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. Why don't you stand with me real fast? I just want to interact with God right now. I want you to interact with God. So I just want you to connect with him. Just like in your mind, turn your thoughts, turn your attention toward him. He loves you. He's offering you. He is offering you a way out of addiction to sin. He is offering you a way out of the sentence that you deserve, of the punishment that you deserve for sin. He's offering you a way in to a relationship with him. He's offering you a way in to the life he created you to live, to be a blessing to God and to others. And he's offering you a way in to his eternal kingdom forever. He wants you to be there. He created you to be there. That's his plan for your life. If you're here this morning and you're just like, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I believe this is true. I want to turn away from my sin, and I want to live for Christ. And I want to look forward to his return. If that's you, what I'm going to do before you, I'm going to have you raise your hand, but we're going to pray for you. I want to actually pray for you for the Holy Spirit to fill you, to receive the gift of the Spirit, because that's the one who gives you power to live for Jesus. That's the one who gives you deliverance from your sinful nature, so your sin doesn't dominate your life like it always has. It sets us free from sin's dominating power. So, Father, we just say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah. I just feel like he's already here. He's already ministering. So just connect. Look to him. Turn your attention, the eyes of your heart. Look at Jesus. And just tell him in your own heart, say, I'm in. I'm in, Lord. I believe. I'm with you. I'm with you. I want to be yours. I give my life to you. Just tell him that in your own heart. He sees it. He hears you right now. And he's going to draw near to you. And you're going to, that assurance in your heart, you're going to be like, yes. He's like, yes, I'm with you now. I'm with you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, right now, just fill people in this room. Turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that our sins are forgiven, and we take our place among all your people in your kingdom forever. We love you, Jesus. We look to you. You're the one who died to forgive our sins. I receive forgiveness. Everybody say that with me. I receive forgiveness. All my sins are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. I receive eternal life because of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me. The same power that conquered the grave lives in me, lives in me. Your love that rescued the earth lives in me, lives in me. The same Spirit that conquered the grave lives in me, lives in me. Your love that rescued the earth lives in me, lives in me. I believe. I believe that you're my healer. I believe that you are all I need. I believe that you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. So if you're here this morning and you've decided you're like, I'm following Christ now. And I just want you, here's what I want to do, is I want you to be able to connect with some people, others who are following Jesus, so that they can help you along and just help get you going in what it looks like in real everyday life to actually live for Jesus, because it looks different than what it used to look like for you. And when I first gave my life to the Lord, I had some godly men who just put their arm around me and just took me under the wing, and they just helped me get going. And they showed me some of those basics of walking with God that are still fundamentals in my life today that help me connect with the Lord. And so if you're here and you're just like, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, I'm doing that now. I've made a decision to do that. I just want you to hold up your hand, because I just want to see who you are.